Welcome to Medicine on Call. Today I'd like to talk to you about something called value-based medicine, which is this catch-all phrase that was trotted out by CMS, the people who bring you Medicare and Medicaid, and Congress in the parts of the Affordable Care Act. And it's always couched in, we love you, we want to save you money, we want you to have as much choice as you can possibly have. And value-based medicine is a way of standardizing the delivery of healthcare because it's so expensive, and it's always doctors that are doing it. And what it really boils down to is you now have a top, as I'm saying for umpteenth time, top-down approach, centralization of healthcare, where you have these actuaries, MBAs, just put it this way, no doctor, who's now deciding how much it should cost for healthcare to be delivered to you. And I mentioned it before, and it was on the horizon, but now under the value-based medicine system, which has come online, it's now reality. You have, I don't know if it's groups of people or just a think tank. I'm not sure who these people are, but they're deciding now how much it should cost you and how long it should take for you to be treated. And it's population-based medicine going into effect. So if you have a pneumonia and you get admitted to the hospital, we're now in the position where it's a grid, where you need to be treated with a certain type of medication, you need to be better by a certain period of time and discharged. Otherwise, the doctor who's taking care of you, the hospital where you're admitted to, is practicing bad medicine, and therefore they will be dinged. They won't be paid, or they'll somehow have a black mark on their delivery of care. This is now going to pervade through every practicing physician who takes care of a Medicaid or Medicare patient. And whatever happens in Medicaid or Medicare eventually pervades the private healthcare market, private insurance market. So it does not take into account anything about the patient. So you have a patient who has obstructive pulmonary disease, former smoker. They've been admitted multiple times for exacerbation of their COPD, bronchitis, pneumonia, you name it. They get discharged. They go on a smoking binge or whatever they do. That's not taken into account. It's just that they end up back in the hospital that the actuaries are looking at. Not for the reason why, because the doctor is always considered to be the problem. You didn't deliver standard of care. You didn't practice evidence-based medicine. You're an outlier. You're a bad doctor. Something is wrong with what you did as a physician to put the patient back in the hospital. It's absolutely one-sided, the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, and people need to know that this is coming online, especially doctors. At this point, I can't speak for my colleagues, but I can speak for myself. There is no way ever in life that I would practice medicine under this condition by taking these government-run insurance plans. When it starts to come into the private healthcare market and the private insurance industry, I think doctors should run with both feet as fast as they can away from this, because you basically just become an absolute agent of the government. No longer are you just giving them data, metadata, through the meaningful use, but they're now telling you what you should do to treat your patient and what your outcome should be. It's an art. It's not just a science. And nobody should have the right to tell you, when your patient, what and how. And, you know, everything about your practice should not be micromanaged and controlled. This is where everything in the country is going. I don't care if it's banking, if it's, I don't know about lawyers. I can't speak for them. I'm sure they're probably the last liars out there. But every other, how can I put it, profession that has anything to do with the government is being micromanaged. And it's unfortunate. And as long as people sit back and remain distracted, this is going to push forward. And until we really struggle with real pain, when it hits you, that shouldn't be the thing that opens your eyes. You should start making moves now to control what happens to your body and what happens to your family and what happens to your pocketbook. Because ultimately, this whole thing costs more money and not less. I can only imagine how much money it's cost for the actuaries and all these think tanks to proselytize on how things work. Now, meaning, and not even knowing what the hell they're doing to top it all off. This boils down to bioethics, to the Ezekiel Emanuel complete live system being put into practice. because when it comes down to value-based, you become the value-based entity. Nobody should have the right to tell you what your life's worth, but that's what the government is doing. And they'll do it from cradle to grave. And they'll do it with everything. If you think this only applies to sick people, you better take another guess, because it's going to apply to people, and I can guarantee you vaccines and mandating vaccines is coming online from the time that you're born to the time you die. Whether you can go to school, whether you can have a job in a hospital, whether you can work in a public setting, all those things, once you open the door and allow this to happen, that's the next step. They're dying to do this to us. They're looking forward to it. I think they're licking their chops, waiting for the fact that they can make us do whatever they want, jump through whatever hoop they want us to jump through. And if it were something that was helpful, that was really about health, was about saving money, was about saving lives, I really wouldn't complain about it necessarily. Although I am a big fan of personal choice, personal responsibility. And whatever's good for you is not good for me all the time. And I should be able to lead my life the way I choose, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. But this is not where this is going. And the fact is, the people who run this, the cronyism that goes on with this, is just astounding. Every time they pass a law that gives immunity to an entity, you should stand up and take notice, because that means whatever they do, they're held harmless. That means they can come up with whatever they want to come up with. How many vaccines can they possibly put on the market? Just think about it. Smoke, anti-smoking, anti-AIDS, anti-Ebola, and then it goes into if you're depressed, they're going to give you one. If you got anxiety, they're going to give you one. If you have an opinion, you're going to have one. That's actually, I think, a mental illness in DSM, that if you question anything, if you're... If you are questioning the government, if you're questioning anything about the status quo, that's a mental illness. That's what they're looking for, is to tag you with something so they can put you in a box and treat you accordingly. Does anybody really think that's going to work? I mean, my God.
They tag you with mental illness and you can't have a gun.
That's true. They already do that now under this, I don't know if it was a value-based system, but it came online that if senior citizens get their Social Security checks electronically mailed or deposited in their account, that basically means that they're mentally unstable and they can't have a gun. That's what they ask you to do when you get to be Social Security age. They want you to do that because it saves them money. You don't have to do mailing. That was the big push. And now you're going to get dinged for that? It's like you play the game, you never win this. That's for those people who think, if I just go along, put my head down, just be a good citizen and take it, it'll all be okay. It won't be okay. You're the first one that they're going to take advantage of. When are people going to figure this out?
They've done that with the VA, with the veterans.
Oh, God, yeah.
If you have PTSD, well, you can't buy a weapon. You're obviously mentally ill. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, please.
It's finally come to me, and it was because of this omnibus thing. I bet you said they 25 times a minute ago. But I know who they is now. It's Congress. It's all the people. This omnibus thing, funding Planned Parenthood, funding the different things that...
Funding Obamacare.
Obamacare. Yeah. It just... And they are the congressmen that have been blackmailed or bought off, whatever you want to do. They're owned by the pharmaceuticals. They're owned by every organization that you can come up with, and they are our government. That's who they are.
They're not our government. They don't represent the people anymore. No. What they represent is the UN, corporate interest, global interest. We need to understand. We fell into the... It's the same playbook. You present this picture where there's unfortunate people, we're the ones that need to go and help them, we need to share our wealth in some way. But it doesn't come out to be sharing. It means give it away. Transfer of wealth. This all happened under globalism. I remember back in the 80s when they were talking about how we have to help the developing countries. I have no problem with that at all. None. But you help them by introducing entrepreneurship. Really capitalism. This is not capitalism that we're dealing with. This is public-private partnership. That's fascism. That's government and corporate interests working together against individuals. Let's face it, that's what it is. And what they did is they helped the developing countries by giving them our jobs. They messed up the trade balances. They've messed with our currency. You've allowed corporations to go in, take their money offshore to get cheap slave labor. It's what they've done. I don't have a problem with competition. I like competition, but I want it to be fair. So if China, India, all the other countries who've now become the manufacturing base, the production, you know, the productive entities, they've been helped by us because our corporate interests have, it's all about the money. They've been allowed to take it out. They've been allowed to chart or have these people, you know, they pay them pennies. I will never buy an iPhone because it's slave labor. That's what they've done. People are jumping off of buildings working for Apple in China. That's blood money, a blood product. I won't buy it because of that. But because we want things cheap, and it all started with Walmart. I think they were the first people to do it. We should have seen that one coming. They get these mega stores. They put their competition out of business. They charge cheap prices. We all go in there and buy it. It started off as decent. Then it became crap at what you were buying. And there's no competition. That's what they've done. So for us to get a couple of pennies off of something, to say we're getting a good deal, I have to be honest, we helped do it to ourselves. Because we were just as bad.
Being a bit older than you, I can remember I was still influenced by World War II. I was born after World War II, but influenced by it. In the 50s, heaven forbid you should buy anything that said made in Japan. I mean, as a country, we boycotted. Those people attacked Pearl Harbor. We're not going to, but, this is the trend today. It started with Japan, though. They lowered the price. Mm-hmm. You could get a thing called a transistor radio. Can you imagine that? If it's made in the United States, it costs you $50. But if it says made in Japan, it was $19.95.
Mm-hmm.
So we succumbed to Japan. Became one of our biggest trading partners. Then we said, well, we'll never buy from Red China. It was called Red China back then. It wasn't called China. Because they're our enemies. They want to blow us up. And, you know, we'll never buy anything from made in China. Made in China, made in Taiwan, made any place but the United States. If it's got the right price on it, we buy it.
It's very short-sighted.
Oh, it's... and I got one for you. Did you know that every launch of a missile to launch anything that we do in the United States today, mm-hmm. you know where the engine comes from?
China?
Russia.
Russia? No. Really? Wow.
Every space thing that we do until yesterday or day before when the X, whatever it is, but anything we've done since 1995 in space, they have launched our satellites, or we have launched them using the Russian...
So how much does that cost us? This is all... You're in a deficit, $19 trillion and counting, and you're spending all of this money to help your... I wouldn't say enemies, but help somebody else that's not your country, right? On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today. Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you probably notice that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your health care choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. We are committed to working with you, and we specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, this show is supposed to be about medicine, and it always ends up being something more because it's important for people to see, you know, these threads, which seem to be unrelated. They are related. It's the same playbook. They just get you distracted. They get you angry. They get you to work against your own interests because you want to practice identity politics. And the next thing you know, you're on the outside looking in with an empty wallet. Hopefully you've got some health, you're healthy, otherwise I really pray for you. But this is not a system you ever want to enter. It's gotten so bad now that doctors who care have just washed their hands and divorced themselves from the system. And it's becoming easier for doctors to see the writing on the wall. This omnibus bill is a perfect example. I don't want to hear any Republican mention to me anymore about repeal and replace. It's ridiculous. They have no interest in doing it. They're never going to do it. Every time, I mean, I'm just offended by these fake votes where they pass these things knowing it's going to be vetoed and then having the nerve to say, well, we just put it forth because we wanted to, you know, honor our commitment. They haven't honored their commitment to us since they've gotten power in Congress at all. We've gotten bigger government, more spending. Obamacare has been locked in. I don't believe it's ever going to be reversed. The only thing, and this is a true statement. The only thing that we can hope for now, if you want to go back to medicine the way it was supposed to be practiced, is for two things to happen. The doctor's licensure can never be tied to taking any insurance. That's the next thing they'll do to us. They'll make us, in order to practice medicine, you have to play ball. Pay to play. If that ever happens, you can kiss your doctor goodbye. You won't have any good doctors practicing medicine in this country ever again. That's one thing. The second thing is you can never allow the insurance companies to get rid of out-of-network benefits, which is what they're trying, and they're making moves on the state level. So they're literally, and this happened, we didn't really pay attention to it, but these insurance companies started saying, oh, we're going to get rid of PPO plans because they're too expensive, because Obamacare is costing, UnitedHealthcare, Obamacare is costing us so much money, we're losing so much money, we're going to pull out of Obamacare. Well, that's only on the surface. What they're doing, too, is getting rid of PPO plans, which is the ones that give you the most choice. You can see whoever doctor you want to see without a gatekeeper. You're going to pay for the privilege, but it's your money. If you want to pay your money to go directly to a specialist, then why can't you do that? Well, they want to get rid of that because that means when the patients say, hey, I paid for this, I want this, insurance companies have to pay for it. You know, in HMO, you're on your own, man. The insurance companies are ruling you like a, you know, that's like a whip and chain kind of thing.
They're also taking their lead from Obama, making up their own rules as they go along.
They've been making up their own rules.
You know, I mean, I want to ask, are your patients, that your day in and day out patients, are they waking up? Are they seeing the light? Are they seeing that, you know, this isn't my daddy's insurance policy?
Somewhat. I mean, there's still a lot of ignorance about what insurance means. And a lot of people still believe if they have insurance, then everything's awesome. And when you do explain to them, hey, you have a deductible, you have a $1,400, $2,500 payment that you have to meet before the insurance kicks in the first dime, you know, it's a wake-up call for them. I mean, we have people now who are waiting to do things until after the new year because they don't want to meet their deductible at the end of the year because it rolls over again in January 1st, and they'll be on the hook for another $2,500 or $5,000 or $10,000. So it's making consumers who pay attention a little bit more savvy. But the way they need to really think about this is there is no good insurance plan. There really isn't. I mean, except an indemnity. You know, if you have a heart attack or you have something really catastrophic, that's what it's covering. That's the only plan that really is going to be appropriate for most people. If you're really sick, you've got multiple problems, I understand you're going to have some sort of cushion. But it's really not becoming a cushion anymore because they're denying you for any big ticket item. They're denying you for it's not medically necessary, it's experimental. They'll put you on the hook for most of the bill, so you don't even want to have the procedure or the chemo or whatever is done. So they're getting you left and right, and there's no recourse. Right now, we are fighting the insurance company for about 7 months now, because they changed their language in the middle of the year, but didn't tell anybody. So instead of having you, initially, you didn't have to have a pre-cert for this procedure. In the middle of the year, they changed the language to, you need to have it approved, not pre-cert, approved by the insurance company. But you don't need approval if you treated the patient with antibiotics and medical management failed. So basically they're saying if medical management failed, you don't need approval. That's what their language says. That's what we did. And they denied it because we didn't get an approval from the company. It's total language. It's been 3 or 4 rounds of complaining and going up the chain. We'd now have another appeal in place with a copy of their language from their own website telling them this patient was on antibiotics, had polyps, was treated multiple times with everything, steroids, you name it. We don't have to get your approval because you say that if the patient failed treatment, you don't need it. Pay me. This is what they do. And the only reason I'm at this level is because I'm very aggressive. I did the work. I had to pay the patient for the procedure. I'm offended by that. I will not let them get away with it. And that means the next level is the insurance commissioner, media, then so be it. But doctors need to get to that pushback level where they just start talking to the patients and letting them know your insurance company doesn't have your back. They want to take your money and screw you over is what they really want to do. And the doctors are so inundated, beaten down, apathetic, you name the every adjective you can come up with to not really fight for themselves, that's what's going on.
You said something, and there was a time that I would have backed you up 100%. The media used to be a tool for the public if there was a reason for them to jump in. But I just thought of that. I mean, you're not the only doctor in town that is having this problem. And yet the media, this is a hell of a story, but the media, because the insurance companies are big sponsors,
yes,
are avoiding it like a rash.
Excellent
point. They
don't
want to touch it. So I don't know that you've got a tool by going to the
social media. Until CISA shuts it down, social media is the way to go. And YouTube and Twitter and the things that they really don't control. You know, I mean, we talk politics very rarely. Well, I guess we don't. But the Donald Trump, you know, his campaign is so powerful because he bypasses the media. People are following him on Twitter. People are following it online. And he doesn't have the filter. That's how you do it. Word of mouth. That's how your reputation now, for better or for worse, is made mostly on social media. And it's like a town hall. You start talking about, you know, you really don't want to buy this insurance plan because this is what happens when you buy it. You buy it in good faith. Your doctor does the procedure and follows the letter of the insurance, and your doctor doesn't get paid. And you're going to find less and less doctors taking this insurance, so maybe you want to think twice. That's how you do it.
Or the doctor in his office is coming after you to pay what you thought it was.
Well, you know, this is such a huge scam, Dave. It's if you sign a contract and you don't amend your contract. Most contracts are written in the sense that if the insurance company doesn't pay it, the patient doesn't have to pay it. The doctor is so... No contract is written like this. But we sign things without reading, unfortunately. And I would never sign... I haven't signed anything like that since I learned that little tidbit. They can come after your money forever. You can only have, in terms of some of these, 3 months to file. If you don't file in 3 months, you can't file. You did the procedure. Maybe it got lost in the electronic medical, you know, charging system. But if they didn't get it, or say they didn't get it within 3 months, you're out of luck. You just saw that patient for free. This is how the system works. It's completely one-sided on every level. Just like we talked about trade or about the globalism. You send your business, you send your manufacturing out to a country. They lowball your own employer, you know, whatever, your market, and they basically sell you back your own stuff for free, you know, at a cheaper rate, but you don't have a job to buy it. Same principle goes on with doctors. You know, we're performing, I don't get to take back my service. I don't get to undo the surgery that I did. I don't get to remove the risk that I incurred to do the surgery, but I have to do it for free. It's gotten to the point, if you're savvy and you understand business, you don't do things that you used to do because they're not cost effective. Taking out of someone's tonsil and going to the OR, hell, going to the OR now for any reason loses you money as a surgeon. You'd rather stay in your office and see 10 patients are equal to one surgery. Maybe 20 patients are equal to one surgery. Why would you go to do surgery anymore? But that's what they want. They want you not to do surgery. They want you not to have the hospital, which is the big ticket person. That's the one getting the money. It's not the doctor. We're the engine that drives it. All they want us to do, really, to be honest, is to manage a problem, write a prescription so the cows come home, and never cure the patient. And if they do get really sick, don't put them in a position where they're going to have a big ticket item performed on them. Just put them in hospice so that it's cheaper, faster. But the system makes the money because the doctor's writing prescriptions, ordering tests for the hospital, okay, not for the doctor, let's be clear. The hospital, the insurance companies, the pharmaceutical industry are the engines that are interested in making the money and make the money. The doctor is the face of it. And they're getting a paycheck for those who work for hospitals, but trust me, they're working for every dime that they get. And they're also working in a sweatshop environment that if they go outside the box, they think for themselves, they actually want to help a patient have a procedure instead of putting them in hospice. They're going to have to jump through hoops and run the risk of being removed because of peer review if they're bucking the system. And the medical education in these hospitals, the boards, they pass laws just like Congress. They don't tell you. They just do it. And next thing you know, you've run afoul of something in the hospital that, you know, against their rules, and they're coming for you. So most doctors who are paying attention don't want anything to do with a hospital, don't want to be on staff at a hospital. Yes, you have to have privileges, but that's different than being an employee. You don't want anything to do with that. Courtesy, you know, you come and see your own patient, you're out, but you're not part of their system. That's going to be the future for any doctor who's free thinking. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use a state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. This is a very, we live in interesting times, there's no question about that. But you have, the point of this is you have power in this situation. You know what's happening. If you listen to the show, I hate to say it, but pretty much everything I said was going to happen has happened to this point. And it's not like I'm some rocket science. I pay attention, and I live it. And it's been happening incrementally to me and my practice, and I watch, and I learn. And I know that what's coming down the road is a lock on this, you know, it's tightening this grid and locking it down. And once they control your intellectual property, that's what everybody who has a purpose in this world has an intellectual pursuit. I don't care if it's a plumber, doctor, lawyer. They want you to not do what you were put on this earth to do. They want to control your ability to be happy, to make money. And there's nothing wrong with making money. It's the love of money that the problem is. But if you work for something and you put your intellectual property out there to be utilized, to help somebody, to provide a service, why are you being denigrated and made to feel something's wrong with you because you want to be paid for what you do? I used to feel that way. I would go to the front desk, someone would have a huge deductible, and I would start writing stuff off because I felt bad. I don't feel that way anymore. I have to stay open. If I keep discounting people, no, you're not going to have to pay. After I spent 45 minutes giving them everything that I have to help them get healthy, then I deserve to be paid for what I do. And they've done a great job of mind controlling us into thinking that somehow if we are good at what we do, if we are successful, we took it from somebody. We got it by cheating somehow. Where the people who are, that they're trying to hoist up, I'm not putting children in this category. They're children. But adults that are able-bodied, who for whatever reason don't want to work, they're the ones that are getting the benefit of this type of system. And they're being told, you know, you earned this. You earned this freebie because somebody took it from you. Somebody's messing with your ability to perform. Doesn't mean that you don't even have to get up off your butt to do anything, but just by breathing, you deserve what they have. And this is what we're seeing. I mean, this is just, I don't know if you saw the thing, or I think it's Oberlin College, where the students were up in arms because the food that they were getting wasn't gourmet. I mean, the rice wasn't good, so that's racist. And my favorite, which made me really chuckle, was the Black Student Union were complaining that there wasn't fried chicken all the time on the menu for Sundays. I'm like, did you see the irony in that? You don't even see the irony anymore.
If I said it,
you'd be racist.
I'd be racist. My God, what if you uttered the word
water? I'm surprised they didn't put that in there, too. I mean, we've gotten to such a stupid, I mean, these people should just be laughed at. I said to my friend, you know, maybe they should just not have any cooking at all. Just get rid of the student food plan and go on your own. But I know what would happen. They'd cook in their homes or their dorms and they'd burn the damn thing down. But, I mean, you know, give them one thing. Give them, you know, don't give them variety. I mean, we didn't have that variety when I was in college. Are you kidding? You made an effort to make General Tso's chicken, and because it wasn't the original ingredients, you're all offended? that this entitlement and stupidity and wow. Look, I mean, it was just shocking.
Look at what they've done in Guantanamo. They give people that want to kill us better food. They probably have never eaten like they have in Guantanamo. And then it's across, except for our public schools, which Michelle has.
Oh, those public schools is indoctrination.
They're not even eating.
They're eating prison food.
The kids are not. They're either bringing their own lunch.
They're not even allowed to in Chicago, I don't think.
They're not eating the garbage at school.
Well, you're hungry. You're in school learning stuff that who knows what the hell it is anymore. No wonder you're brainwashed when you come out. And then you end up in college where you're concerned about the quality of the type. Not even the quality. It wasn't like it was bad. It was just not good enough for them. Why aren't they worried about, hey, I have $100,000 or more tax burden, or I should say student loan burden. What about I don't even have a job to look forward to when I come out. Wouldn't you be complaining about the fact that my degree is worth shit? Excuse my French. It's toilet paper. That's what I would be complaining about. I'm spending all this money in pursuing a degree that I won't even have a job for when I come out. But I'm concerned about chow mein and whether I'm going to get fried chicken. Does anybody see the... I mean, these people need to be laughed at. Seriously.
How many of those same folks you reckon go across the street to McDonald's and eat fast food garbage and don't complain about it?
That's what people complain about. You're right. You're right. Non-food, GMO, chemtrails. I mean, these are things that are going to hurt, are hurting all of us, but they're not interested in that. It's some cosmetic crap. And people doing sit-ins in the Mall of Georgia. I'm sorry, the Mall of America, I think it was. Wow. There's a lot of things to complain about. That's not one of them. I would be complaining about the fact that your internet freedom is about to be pulled after CISA and CISPA and the rest, TPP, you name whatever the acronym is these days. All it's designed to do one thing, centralize the power, have corporate interests drive the train, and it means that you have less choice, you're spending more for it, and your freedom to choose and be who you are, an individual, is going to be quashed because somehow it offends somebody. And, you know, that TPP thing is really bad. It allows transnational corporations to open up in our country, import their own workers. Import their own workers. They do not have to hire Americans. And they can pay them whatever they want. So, obviously, the standard of living is going to drop because if they pay them less, that sets the standard for how much it costs for that particular position, right? So we're going to get paid, if we have a job, we're going to get paid less for what we do. Why does anybody think that's a good thing? On the flip side, on the medical side, they get to decide what medications are to be licensed, how much they should cost, like that guy who got nailed for raising the drug 2,000 or 3,000%. They can do that 24/7. From 13,
$750 a pill.
Well, it's not going to be just some guy doing that. It'll be Pfizer. It'll be Schering. It'll be whatever the company that decides what the drug should cost for you to have it. And it's going to be chemo drugs. And it's going to be things that people really need. That's what they're going to jack up. They're already jacking up silly, you know, nothing silly, but things that are routine. Those are already being jacked up from $10 to $200. Routine ear drops, antibiotics like doxycycline, which is old as the hills, should be about 10 cents a pill, is like $200, and it's arbitrary because they can do it because they're helping to write the law that bypassed Congress, that got signed as I don't even know if it's a treaty. I don't even know what it is. Is it an agreement? Because even treaties have to be ratified by Congress. So,
well, they used to be.
Well, you're right, but they're all part of the problem. So they're looking at the UN as their boss. They're coming for gun control in the same way because it's going to be something that's UN-driven, that whatever the UN mandates supersedes the government, the country's local laws. That's what they're doing. They did it already with the police. I don't know if you paid attention because it was so subtle, you know, 1 second in the news. But our attorney general went to the UN and basically adopted UN policing policies in the U.S. So they're having the UN pretty much give us the playbook of how our police should be run. That's ridiculous. Next thing you're going to have UN cops, and I think they're already here, frankly, and military in our on our soil, running, you know, doing whatever they do. That's a problem. And everybody's all so interested in stupid things, like whether they have fried chicken in school. I mean, what's wrong with you people? And what freebie they can get? Free college education. That's what they want. Free tuition now. It's college is not a right. It's not. And not everybody needs to go to college.
The one thing they seem to forget about, who's paying for this?
They don't care. You owe them, Dave. I owe them. They didn't produce anything, but we're supposed to just give them to them. And then when they get out, this is my fear. These are the people who are coming out who are supposed to be the next level, the next generation of leaders. What the heck are they going to lead? They don't even respect themselves or each other. So how do they expect to... How is our country actually going to run? It's going to be a disaster. And
so
nobody's...
It'd be very similar to when you flush the toilet.
True.
That's how it's going to run.
But they don't have any sense of... I run my own show. I like running my own show. I like being my own boss. I don't look to anybody to help me. If I sink or swim, it's because I made a good decision or a bad decision. If I made a bad one, trust me, I'll learn not to do it again. I'm going to make my way around it so I can continue. These people, this mindset, crybaby, whiners, I don't even know how you can have a huge ego and still feel badly about yourself at the same time. That is totally bizarre.
They're all like Hillary. They're all victims.
Yeah, everybody's a victim.
Yeah.
Everybody's owed something. Everybody's special and unique. You know, they're not even unique. They're just special. Because you're supposed to be part of the whole. If you're different, then you're bad. We would learn the opposite. Being different was great. Don't follow the crowd. If they're doing X, you do Y. That's what Mom and Dad taught me. The lemmings go off the cliff. You know, that's generally what happens. And again, niceness, this civility that they try to indoctrinate us with is just passivity. So that you're too afraid to speak up for yourself. Like the person who thought that the people in Bernardino were doing some weird stuff, but they didn't want to say anything because they'd be called a racist. Call me that. You don't know me. I don't care. If we can get to that mindset, I don't care what you think, just say that to yourself. It's really empowering. Wherever you are, if you can just say that right now to yourself. I don't care what anybody thinks. I know I'm doing the right thing for the right reason. I know that I don't want to hurt anybody. My job is to help my career, my calling is to help people. Anything that stops you from doing that, I have a problem with. I'm going to take issue with. If everybody felt that way about whatever it is they're pursuing, that something was standing in the way from you doing what you love, that you know you're good at, and someone's trying to take that away from you, does that make you want to stand up and fight that? Or do you just want to say, okay, maybe it'll be better if I just play the game? On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, we have, as usual, our awesome conversations offline. I mean, I don't care who you support, but I just want people to think about why they support somebody. I just don't subscribe to pablum. You know, being told what I want to hear. We already played the game. We've been playing the game for, I don't even know how long we've been playing it. It's for years and years and years. And now it's not, it's so out in your face that they're saying one thing and doing the other. You don't have to wait for, you know, years to figure out that they lied to you. You know, when the Glass-Steagall Act got repealed, that was a problem. Everybody should have sat there and said, there's no reason for the banks to have a fiduciary dog in the hunt with the Wall Street folks. They shouldn't have this. There's a reason that was separated. Things like that that are really obvious that when they get passed, you know they're going to be used in a way that works against people. But we didn't see that right away. Okay, so I'll give us a pass. But what's going on in Congress with Planned Parenthood, with Obamacare? Nobody really who's honest with themselves can say that this Affordable Care Act is worth anything. People are being priced out. The coverage sucks. The insurance companies are lying 24/7. They've gotten to the point now they just changed the name of the Obamacare policy, and they just tell you now it's a Cigna policy or United Healthcare policy. They don't even tell you it's Affordable Care Act. We got nailed with four patients with that recently because we thought it was Cigna, and we were told, if you take Cigna, this is what it is. It is not what it is. And when you called, you weren't on the panel, and it turned out it was Affordable Care Act. And not only did it hose us, but it screwed the patients over. They're coming in honestly thinking that they have a Cigna plan or a Blue Cross plan. They don't know. And this one really snuck by us because it was from the employer. It wasn't an individual policy. So they're really going nuts with trying to screw people over. Pathway X, MVP, Evergreen. I'm telling you, if it's got a strange name, if you're listening to this show as a doctor, call ahead. Don't try to... Oh, it looks like a Blue Cross policy, just a new one. It's not. It's a scam. So what we need to do as physicians and patients is to really take a step back. Forget about identity politics for 5 minutes. They've done a great job of divide and conquer. They've got dog whistles 24/7. The most recent one was the blue-collar men, that quote-unquote. That's supposed to say that it's white working men, but blue collar means anybody working, not white men, not black men. It's working class people. But because the language has been twisted, it's supposed to make it sound like only white men are going for Donald Trump and it's racist. That's what you're supposed to make this automatic connection. Shorthand, shortcut, no thought involved. Just say a word, Pavlov response, I just have the same response. Doesn't anybody find that? I find that to be more offensive than someone saying the N-word. That's more offensive to me. And it's a word. Who cares? I know that I'm not X or Y or Z. You don't know me. So how the hell can you offend me when you don't even know me? It's your insecurity. You're projecting. It's your problem, your hate. I'm not taking it on. It's all about energy. Whether or not you decide to be offended by something is something, it's a choice. Now, physical is another thing. If they're coming to put their hands on you, hey, all bets are off, but you're going to say something to me and my whole life falls apart. I can't function. That's mental illness, seriously. And you've bought into trying to make yourself special by being a victim. Let's call it what it is. If you don't love yourself, then I can't do things that make you love yourself. Every time I try to coddle you, I just make you feel worse about yourself. And then you lash out. I'm not a psychiatrist, but that seems to be pretty clear cut to me. Nobody can take away my ego because it's instilled in me. I work for what I get. I work damn hard for what I got. And no one's going to tell me that I'm a slacker or that I don't deserve it. I know I do. And when you have that center piece, nobody can come and erode that. These people don't feel good about themselves. They're being told that, and that comes from little kids who have to, everybody gets a present, everybody gets a trophy. Even if you don't do well, you don't have to try, you just have to show up. Are you kidding? If you show up, you better show up with intention to win or at least play the game. I don't like losing. I hate losing from when I was a kid. But I don't mind losing if I played it well and I competed. It's the way you lose. Cannot, you know, and everybody's going to be a winner. But sometimes you do better and you get more out of it when you don't win something because it makes you work harder and think and find another way. If it were easy, it wouldn't be, personally my feeling, it's no value in it.
Vince Lombardi, winning it is everything, it's the only thing. I think I've told you this before, I got stoned almost by the parents when I handed this out. But it's because it's like a bill in Congress, they didn't read it. And all he was saying, all Vince Lombardi was saying is, no matter what you do, and I guarantee you, I'm looking across the room at my friend, you didn't give 80% to get through med school. You gave 120%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it should be
with
anything.
Everything.
And if you've tried your damnedest and you didn't get it or didn't get something or mm-hmm. whatever, but you have the assurance of walking off the field, I gave it my best. That guy just happened to be better than me.
And
I'll fight harder next time.
There you go. That was what my dad would say if we ever lost a game. Work hard and get him next time. That's what you do. But just the juxtaposition of people whining about their victims, and they're in the best colleges, and they have all the opportunity in the world. They're not homeless. They're not coming off a boat somewhere. They're here in this country. They're citizens. Well, I don't know if all of them are, but some of them are. But there's no excuse. You're not living back in the 50s. If they want to try to take us back as if nothing has changed, you have a president times two that got voted in by white people, not black people. How the hell can the country be racist when the country voted for, of all the developed countries, there's no black person running anything in Europe. We're the first developed country to do something like that. Twice. With an attorney general who's a black woman. I mean, you name it. And it's the worst country in the world. All these people sitting in colleges. I don't know what they do anymore. It's not learn anything, obviously. It's just whine about stuff. Now you want free stuff. Your whole modus operandi is to get something for nothing and then complain when you don't get it. I've never seen such whiners in my entire life. I don't respect that. I can't. And for people who did blood, sweat, and tears to get to the point that they're the third or fourth generation doing it after affirmative action, etc., that's just disrespectful to the people who were the pioneers. They worked, they didn't whine, and they really had something to complain about. But they got it done. You are sitting there whining about your food, about a course, about kicking out a professor who has an opinion that maybe goes against you. You know what? If you have self-respect, you can argue your point. You can give a thesis. You can give a backup. These people, when you ask them any depth of why they feel a certain way, they don't have an answer for you. They don't look up stuff. They don't have any foundation for why they feel, but it's all a feeling because they've been told by what they're hearing on TV that you should be offended by X, Y, and Z. Are you stupid? Seriously, I can't even. We need to stop coddling that. And for those of us who are in the real world, white, black, green, purple, I don't care what color, sex, race, whatever you are, if you're in the real world and you understand that I have to earn what I get, you need to start laughing in these people's faces and just turn them off. By us coddling them and giving them air, we're encouraging this nonsense. Stop it.
There was I can't even recall the situation, and it was a black young black youth being interviewed, smart. You could tell, I mean, I don't know how smart, but memorize well. But he was asked the question, why are you doing this? And he started rambling off all of these things and was very eloquent. But I was sitting there saying, what the hell is he saying? I couldn't understand. I mean, I understood the words, but it was like they were all disjointed, and it just, what's his point? He's not answering, why are you doing
this? Well, they never answer the question. It's always some other...
tangent of...
But it's not just black people. It's white kids. It's Asian kids. It's the whole nine yards. I mean, it's just the generation, maybe.
How about the clock kid?
Yeah, well, now he wants to come back because I think he's living in Oman or something. He misses the country. He wants to come back. And that was this huge thing. I mean, really?
You know, it's like anybody that wants to go play with Syria or any, you know, wants to join ISIS or anything, let them go. Just they don't ever come back.
Yeah, take their passport. Why is this such a trauma? You've already renounced your citizenship by definition. Luckily, you're not arrested. But if you want to go out there, then you just don't come back. All this PC nonsense, but it's all, this is, okay, right? Designed, same playbook, order out of chaos. You create chaos and you remake it in the way that you want to. You blow up the healthcare system, you come back with single payer. You blow up the immigration system, you come in with a police state. That's the next step. But you come in with universal... ID cards, because you have to prove you're an American citizen. That's what's going to happen next. Then eventually it'll probably be police state. But the internet, all of this, they found they were able to thrive on social media. So now we have to have, you know, forget encryption and all that stuff. You don't have to do any of that, but that's the goal. You have to give up your freedom in order to protect yourself. And they give all these examples, and it's all this chaos. And then people get totally distracted, and I just want someone to take care of me. I don't want the government to take care of me. I want to take care of myself. Just leave me alone so that I can do that, whether that means being able to choose what food I eat, what doctor I see, or being able to protect myself. The police cannot protect us. There's not enough of them. They should be happy if citizens actually want to take up the ball in that. On that note, I wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And happy. Well, I'll be back next week, so I don't want to miss you happy. Yes, I did. And what? I'm Christian. And what? Whatever you subscribe to, that's your business. But I'm a Christian. And Merry Christmas to everybody. Thank you for listening to my show. We'll be back next week. And have a great holiday.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.